Well, I gave you a little bit of homework last week, Psalm 119. Anybody read Psalm 119? All right, good deal. Hey, here comes some baptism people or something, I think. All right, good deal. Well, we're in a four-month series. Don't let that scare you. In January, we did... Thank you. That was slow, but we'll take it. You ever watch some of those game shows and they didn't answer in time? You were close. You were at the buzzer. All right. So in January, we talked about prayer, and then we're talking about the Word. In March, we're going to talk about worship, and then in April, serving, and then we'll get into Easter, believe it or not. And I really believe with all my heart, this is where God has us, because what we all need to do in the world that we live, the life that we all live, we have to have a level of proficiency individually, that we're not just farming out our prayers or somebody else doing Bible study or this or that, but that we know how to pray and we have confidence in prayer, and that we know how to get around in God's Word, and we understand worship and we become worshipers, and then find the power and the joy of serving. And it's not just, okay, I'll help out. No, it's not that at all. It's part of what we were made for. It's part of why you are God's handiwork, to do the good works that He created beforehand that we're to do. And so we're talking about the Word now. We talked last week about the veracity of the Word, the integrity of the Word, some of the history of that. And I just want to pick up with a few things, and then we're going to roll in today. So the Bible is God's Word. It is God speaking to us. It is more than a book. It is God's voice in written form. It's alive. It's supernatural. Y'all hear that? It's supernatural. It's powerful. And like I said, it's more than a book. It's the main way that God wants to reveal Himself to us. It's the main way that God wants to give us guidance and instruction for life. It's divine. It's consistent. It's inerrant. It's authoritative. It's eternal. It's not just an old book. It is timeless. It is full of truth. And that truth endures forever. And that truth endures to all generations. And I want to hammer this just for a moment. Whatever your generation is, it's your book. Say it right now. It's my book. Don't let culture or anything else push it off and say, well, that was your great grandmother's book, or that was the pilgrim's book or something. It is my book. It is your book. And His truth endures forever, and it's alive right now. And the enemy would like to use anything he could to get you to demean it and to dismiss it, because you need it. I need it. And my kids and my grandkids, and should Jesus tarry, great grandkids, and on and on and on. It is their book and it is your book. And we're going to learn how to get into God's Word and let this divine, holy, supernatural, truth loaded book change our lives. Amen. Amen. Now, it is life giving, it is life changing, and there is nothing like God's Word. Can I get an amen today? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, and we looked at this last week, is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Let me stop on that just for a moment. Everybody say truth. I think that's the search, that's the quest, you know, of truth. We'll come back to the verse in a moment. Some of y'all are nervous. And I've said this and I've said this, but I feel prompted in this moment. We have to live by God's truth. And in I don't know, the last decade or so, this phrase has been coined, my truth, my truth. And this isn't new for me to talk about this with you, but you can't live by your truth. Your truth won't serve you well. You haven't lived long enough. You can't see far enough ahead. You can't see far enough back to have a my truth that's going to keep you safe and get you there. And so what happens as you travel then on your path, your truth is going to have to change, which by definition then, it's no longer truth. But God's Word is truth, and it endures forever. It's always true, it is true, always will be true, and That's what God's word is. So let's go back to this verse here. It teaches us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. There's just nothing like God's word. And I don't know fully what to do with this verse, Psalm 138, verse 2. And it says that God has exalted, get this, he has exalted his word even above all his name. Now we know his name is above every name that is named. We know that his name is the highest name, that Jesus is exalted over all things, and that God has chosen to exalt his word even above his name. And I'm not sure what all to do with that, but say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think he's emphasizing to us the absolute importance and primacy of God's word. There's nothing like it. And the enemy of your soul knows that. The enemy of your soul wants to keep you away from God's word. He wants to keep you out of God's word. He wants to keep God's word out of you because the enemy of your soul knows what it is and he knows what it can do in our lives. And so we need to push past that. I used this word last week. It should provoke you. It should just provoke you that when the enemy is supplying you all these lame excuses to stay out of God's word, that you go, all right, you just fired me up because it reminds me why I need God's word. Amen. Well, I want to give away a few Bibles, and I don't know how to do this fairly. How many of you promise you won't get mad at me if you don't get one? Because I'm greatly outnumbered. Okay. And you, sir, in the teal shirt, you were the first one to say, you'd not get mad at me, so this is your Bible, sir. So this is Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible. Have it. Love it. Alicia has it. Love it. And it's a little more from the Spirit-filled perspective, which Holy Spirit, that's our power, that's our help. And a study Bible, here's the main thing. The main thing is, if you have a Bible that is just the text of the Bible without any of the helps, then you're going to read the Bible without any helps. And the scholarly treasure that is in a study Bible, that teams of scholars have worked together, and I believe God has helped them, so that when you read just any of the books in the Bible, the Psalms, the Proverbs, John, whatever it would be, well, who is this to, and who wrote it, and why did they write it, and what was going on, and what does that word mean, and where else is that in the Bible, and it will highlight things and bring them out. And so get you a study Bible, and you may not get one from me, but you can get one bookstores, and they'll bring it to your door. I'm going to start a thing instead of DoorDash. I'm going to start Bible Dash, you know, or something like that. Oh, speaking of DoorDash, you say, well, I can't afford a Bible. You probably could. This one, I think, is like 30, 32, 34 bucks. And if you want to get into a leather soft, this is hardbound, but if you want to get to a leather soft, a little bit more, you want to get a leather, it's a lot more. Or some more, and it's just kind of what you want to do. But we spend money on what we want to spend money on. You're getting your phones upgraded, you're getting DoorDash, you're getting all this stuff. I can't afford a Bible. And you know what? You need to rethink that a little bit. Amen? All right. And you can go online or into a good bookstore and kind of compare, but I highly recommend get a study Bible. So could you hand that to him right there behind you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give him a good God bless there. Enjoy that. All right, where's some of my baptism people? Who got baptized? Well, then. David, would you hand that to her? This is the Life Application Study Bible. Good, good stuff. And congratulations, all right? Come on, give her a God bless. All right. Well, we're talking about the Word, and the Word is Jesus. How many of you know that? So this is the Word, but the Word is Jesus. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we find out in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Who is that? That's Jesus. And then in 2 Timothy Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Exhort, correct, encourage with all patience and teaching. And so the word is Jesus, but then the word we also see is the Bible. And Jesus and his word are one, but he was the embodiment, the incarnation of the word of God. And then within the word of God, there are metaphors that help us to get a glimpse and should whet our appetite toward God's word, how we need it in our life. You need to know historically there were times where only a few people could get to the Bible. There were times where it was chained away in certain places and only certain, quote, holy people were allowed to read it and then give you what they thought about it. And you know what? This is your Bible. Everybody say, this is my book. This is my book. And God will help you to learn and grow and be fed from God's word. But there are metaphors within Scripture about the Bible that describe it for us. For example, the word is bread, it's water, milk, meat, life. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's fire, a sword, a hammer, a mirror, an anchor, seed, gold, honey, and on and on. And what I want to talk to you about today is the word is light. The word, come on, say it with me. The word is light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Come on, everybody. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet. That's my steps. It's a light to my path. That's where I'm going. A couple of years ago for my birthday, Alicia bought this for me in an antique shop up in Georgia. And it's actually a British coal miner's lantern lamp. And it's ancient and it's awesome. And I keep it in my study. And when she gave it to me, I said, oh, babe, that's like your word is a lamp into your... And she goes, I know, that's why I bought it for you. So I said, thank you. But think about it. And I was reading on it, and it has instructions on the bottom about you use paraffin in there and trimming the wick and so forth. And I have no idea how old it is, but just the visual of this, that it's a lamp unto my feet so I can see where to step. And I can see where to not step. And it's a light unto my path. Now, God does not always show you all the path. He wants you to take steps on your path. Because if he showed you all the path and you could see it all, how many of you know you would skip some parts? You mean we get to go there? Well, I don't want to eat my veggies and I don't want to do my chores. I just want to get there. And there's things that we're going to learn along the way. There are things that we're going to go through along the way that he will walk you through, that if you don't go through those things, if you don't learn those things, if you don't make that correction in your life, you're not going to be able to handle getting there. Are you all with me? And so this life is lived by steps and it's lived by a path, and we have to light it up. Alicia and I like to go for a walk, a little power walk, healthy walk. And we'll walk down to Panera and get some... No, we don't. But sometimes by the time we're out, get out to go do it, it's about to get dark or whatever. We went out last evening even, or was that the night before? It was real recent. And so if it's going to get dark, our neighborhood doesn't have street lights. And so I'll take my handy dandy flashlight, so that I can kind of see it's the same thing. Because if I carried this, my neighbors would report me. It's a weird man with a lamp. But what's the whole point? What is the whole point? So I can see. And God's word is light for us, and it helps us to see. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, where I can take those steps. We live in and we travel in a dark world. Have you noticed that? And there's pockets of darkness, and there's darkness that spreads, and there's shadows, and there's all of those things. And without light, it is pretty predictable what will happen. And one of the first things that will happen is fear. Fear, when we can't see fully. I remember being a little kid. My parents had not yet split. I remember the layout of the house. My brother and I shared a room. We had bunk beds. I'm on the lower bunk, and we're laying there in bed, and there was some light coming from the living room down the hallway, and there was something in my room. And I'm looking at this, and it was scary to me. And I just kind of froze. And I don't know how old I was. I had to have been like first, second grade, something like that. And I'm just looking at it, and it didn't look like it was moving. It looked like it might would be looking at me, but it was dark. And I'm scared. And I'm, Terry, to my brother, Terry. And he didn't hear me. And then I thought, I got to just go for it. It's either going to eat me now or later. So I went, Mom! Turned on the hall light, started coming down. And when the hall light turned on, light came into my room. And it was my baseball glove on the back of my desk chair. Its silhouette was somewhat alien-ish. And a Saturday afternoon science fiction movie didn't help. But the light came. And I don't know what I told her then, but thinking about it yesterday, as I thought, yeah, I'll share that. I probably said, could I just have some water? But what helped me was the light. The other night, Friday, my one grandson, Milo, he's playing flag football. And there's hundreds of little dudes out there. And so his mom and dad couldn't go. And so I took him. And we got there. And you know, they're 5 and 6 year olds. It's flag football. And there are 3 or 4 fields, and there's 2 games per field that are going on, and it's supposed to be Friday night lights. But for some reason, the field we were playing on, the lights didn't come on. And the other fields, they were, and the sun was going down. Game started at 6, sun started going down like 6:15 or so. It's getting darker and darker and darker, and it got harder and harder and harder for them to play. Now, with 5 and 6 year olds, there's not a lot of passing. So it's just little fast guys running with the ball and a handoff here or there. But I overheard coaches and referees saying, if we can't get those lights on, the next game was older boys and there's going to be passing. And they said, it's impossible for us to play. Why? Because of the lights. Because of the lights. Look at me. You have to have light. You have to have light in this life. And there's not any other light. There's nothing that's going to last. There's a few things that flicker. There's a few things that shine. But we have got to have the light of God's Word. Get this. The Word is light, and the light helps us to see. Read it with me. The Word is light, and the light helps us to see. And remember this. Light always cuts through the dark. Always. It helps us to see, first of all, God. Helps us to see God, who He is. What He's like. I told you earlier, it's the number one way that God wants to reveal Himself to us is through His Word. We can see His character, His history, His nature, His promises. We can find out about Him. We can see that. We don't know that apart from God's Word. Everything I know about God, I learn from His Word, and then I learn by experience, by Him fulfilling that, by Him being that. But we can know about God from His Word. We can know His promises. How many of you know for every problem, there is a promise. And where are those promises found? We mine them out of God's Word. So the Word is light to help us to see God. The Word is light, as I said, to help us know where to step and where to not step. And the Word is light to help us to see, you ready, the world around us, to give us some perspective. How many of you know you look out into the world and you watch the news and it's a head scratcher sometimes? It's like, really? People like that? People do that? People fight over that, you know, and it's just the perspective. And we talked about this months ago. We did a whole series on a biblical world view. And you've got to see things the way God sees them. And you're able to get perspective on people, on the world, on the issues of our day. You can get, okay, this is what I think about that. Where did you get that? My 2 friends and from the news. No, I can get a higher authority. I can get the Creator, the Redeemer, who's eternal, first, last, and forever, God. Are y'all following me here? That I can get it, and His thoughts and ways are so far above our thoughts and ways, we can get His thoughts and ways on the issues of this life from God's Word. It will help me to see, okay, that gives me perspective for this world. Amen? The word guides us, and Psalm 119, 105, we read it earlier, but here in today's English version, it says this: your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Proverbs 6:23, New International: for this command is a lamp, and this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life. Life is made up of paths, and you travel down paths taking steps. And as I illustrated before, God's word lights my steps and it lights my paths. And I want to tell you this too. It also said that it corrects us. And we read earlier in 2 Timothy 3, it's useful to teach us what is wrong and make us realize, teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong. And then we just read in Proverbs 6 that the command is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. So guess what? The Word of God will correct us. So the Word of God will show us, y'all here? All right. The Word of God will show us the right steps and help us stay on the right path. But because you're you and I'm me, how many of you know sometimes we still take wrong steps? And you know what God does? He cancels you. No, he doesn't. He will try to light up where you are, how to get back to where you need to be. He shows you what is wrong, and he shows you now what to do is right. Have you been there? I've been there. And so he'll show you how to get back on the right path. And we're not going to do that without God's word, without knowing it, without reading it, without hiding it in our hearts. Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19. The way or the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines, help me, ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way or the path of the wicked is like, come on, total darkness. And watch this. You got to read this with me. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. What's the difference? Light. Light. First of all, that Jesus is the light of the world. Second of all, that his word is light. So the path of the just shines ever brighter. The path of the wicked is total darkness. They can't even tell what they're stumbling over. And here's the difference: Jesus and his word. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And if you say you're following Jesus, you need to also follow his word. Follow those together. That's the path that he has for us. And I love this. It starts out as the first gleam of dawn, and it shines ever brighter until the full light of day. The word is light so you can see. So you can see. But you can't just have a Bible. You can't just hold a Bible. You can't just hug a Bible. You can't shake a Bible. Are y'all with me? You got to crack it open. And see, I can remember growing up, and my grandpa, I think when he passed, the factory he had worked for in Ohio sent a big Bible. It's like a 31-pounder. How many of your family had any of those big Bibles? We didn't read it. It was just there to ward off evil. Keep it on the coffee table. Put old newspaper clippings in there. Old pictures in there. Press some flowers in there. And if we heard a noise outside, get near it. Not because we knew it, but because it had sharp edges and it was heavy, okay? So that's not going to do it. Well, I've got a Bible. It's not about you having a Bible. It's about you getting it open. It's about you reading it. No, don't just read it. Let it speak to you. Learn to study it. Learn to think upon it. Memorize it. No, don't memorize it. Learn it by heart. Sit under teaching. Learn God's word. Get a study Bible. Next week, we're going to learn how to read and study the Bible. You do not want to miss next week. How do I do this? Because I think all our lives we're told, get into the word, get into the word. And you're like, I'm trying. And we're going to learn how to do this so that you and I, every one of us, can know how to do this and get the light out of God's word for our life. Amen. What you have to get is not just the information. You've got to get understanding. That's the place that you have to arrive at. See, if you just get information and you never understand it, it never becomes knowledge. And what you have, and the Proverbs talks so much about this, in essence it talks about information, but then it talks about understanding, knowledge, wisdom, discernment. And you're never going to have those until you have understanding. And what the enemy of your soul is after is to block understanding, keep you away from it, get you after some squirrely doctrine or whatever else, or interested in the wrong things. And what we have to realize is, I can't just have the information. I have to get understanding in God's word. And that's why we teach God's word. That's why you need a study Bible. That's why you yourself, and every time you sit down with the Bible, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and he's able to unfold things to you as well. But you've got to make it your business. I need light in my life. I need God's word in my life. And how do we get into that? So you're going to have to get understanding. And what you understand can never be taken away from you. So you take the information, you get understanding, and when you understand something, what do you see? What do you say? Oh, I see. I see. It's like the light comes on. Oh, I see. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So it's information, it's understanding, it becomes knowledge, and here's where we're going with this, application. That you actually become a doer of the word. And James 1 says this, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. And when you're a doer of the word, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. There's nothing else that does this. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned. That word means to shine or send out light. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Listen, there is nothing. Y'all listen. There's nothing like God's word. And it's your book. It's your book. Say, it's my book. And you jealously need to guard the time and push away. We've let so many other things. I can't because I have this and this and this. And if it means, and I'm going to lose some of you on this, if it means waking up a little earlier to just get some time with God's word, you'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. To start to carve out, to push out some holy time. You say, God, I'm setting apart this time so that I can read and study and learn from your word. There's nothing like God's word. What else in life refreshes your soul, brings joy to your heart, gives you light so that you can walk through this life? Nothing. Nothing else. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows what this is. He knows what it can do, and he's going to do his level best to keep you from God's word. Let that provoke you, that you make it your daily bread. I want to lead you in a declaration. I'm going to ask everybody just to declare this with me this morning. Say this with me. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It helps me to see where to step. And where to not step. The entrance of God's word brings light and guides me through life. Because of God's word, my path is well lit. I can see where I'm going. I love God's word. It is my light and it is my daily bread. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? Amen. Good, good, good.